All right, you are good to go. Thank you so much. We're called to order at 3:02. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, item number 2 is an action item, approval of the agenda.
I move we approve the agenda.
Okay, Cesar.
I will second it.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion about the agenda? All in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, wait, no,
I have to do the roll call because we are, we're doing a virtual meeting, so if you don't mind, I'll call names on everything. So, Bert.
Aye.
Ellard.
Aye.
Phelan.
Aye.
Trainer.
Aye.
Awesome, motion carried.
Perfect. Item number 3, the approval of the minutes from the December 8th meeting.
I move to approve the minutes from the December 8th meeting.
All right, Beth. Tisa, I got you as my second. Okay, no discussion?
Did we have any discussion about the minutes?
All right, I'll call for the vote then. Perfect. Bert?
Aye.
Ellard?
Aye.
Phelan? I didn't hear you, Tisa. Did you say yes?
Yes, I said aye.
All right, thank you. And Trainer?
Aye.
Awesome. Motion carries.
And let's go to public comments. I do not see any public. Do you have any there with you, Amy or Natalie?
Nope.
Your houses?
No. And nobody contacted us, so no.
No, and there is no public comments on chat, so we're good.
Perfect. Then we're going to move to item number 5, which is the information item, which is superintendent's report.
So I'm chatting right now with Kathleen. I don't know if she's going to be able to join us, so Amy, can you go ahead and present, and I'll get the answer from Kathleen.
Sure. Before Kathleen comes on, I will just share a couple things with you, which is kind of like our frequently asked questions that are going around in the school right now. Considering all that's going on, things are going pretty well, actually very well. Our engagement for distance learning is running about 85 to 90% across the network. So students are getting on or doing their asynchronous learning and so on and so forth. We are currently discussing high school students as they are having the most difficulty being able to keep up with their work, either, you know, because of what's going on at home or they're simply need some more help, or they're just not doing it because someone's not, you know, overseeing them on the daily basis over their shoulder. So we're definitely having a lot of discussions about that, mostly obviously on the ed side of the house, and trying to get these kids back into classrooms, even if it's in small groups, so that we can you know, oversee their learning a little bit tighter and making sure that they get all the credits they need to graduate. So that is the big talk right now. I'll catch Kathleen up. I'll keep going and I'll let her get in. Kathleen, I was talking about 85 to 90% engagement and how
Amy,
we are.
How do we calculate 85 to 90% engagement?
So the way it works, that's a really great question. During distance learning, the teachers have to put on their official attendance sheets every day how they know the student attended. So were they online through distance learning? Did they do an assignment and turn it into Canvas? Did they speak to the teacher during office hours? So the teachers actually have to put how they know the student did a thing in that day. And then, of course, we can look at grades. You know, are they turning in their work and so on and so forth. And like I said, more for Kathleen is we're talking a lot about high school and the kids that are struggling there trying to get them back on campus. We'll have a working date of March 15th, which is just a shot in the dark on when we'd like to reopen. But of course, that is like the third date we've chosen for this, because if you would have told me, Kathleen, Natalie, or any of you that we were still doing this 11 months later, we would have thought you were crazy, and you would have been totally right. And so we are looking at a back-on-campus date of March 15th in hopes that enough people will get vaccinated. Riverside County is ahead in the vaccination, although they hold back a little bit. I know I got my first shot because I was in education. And San Diego County is a little further behind. San Bernardino County is actually ahead of Riverside, so It's kind of all over the map, but I will say our two sites that are back, which is La Fuente at the Vista Student Center and Quest in Santa Ana, have been doing very well. Knock on wood, no COVID cases. And, you know, we did do a couple of things, like after Christmas, we kept the kids on at-home learning for the week after, because we know there was family gatherings and things like that. So we have been very strategic about kids coming on and off campus and so on and so forth. So that's the big, a couple of big things. Another thing I want to share with you is we, Kathleen and I, Tony and Debbie, attended a webinar with Young Minion Corps regarding staff and student vaccinations. And we got off, and Kathleen and I were on chat, and we had to giggle a little, because they basically told us all the ways you would get sued if you mandated the vaccination and all the ways you'd get sued if you didn't mandate the vaccination. For this team, that's the long story short. There was a lot more to it, obviously, but that was, you know, the part that we had to giggle about a little bit. So, unless the governor requires educators to get vaccinated, which he has not done at this point, we are just highly recommending it to all of our staff. Senior staff who get vaccinated, you know, we're posting on our personal Facebook pages, you know, we're talking it up, we're doing a little bit of PR, but right now it's pretty tough because the counties are open to educators yet. So once it opens up a little bit in that 1B tier, we'll be able to push even further. Right now it's up to staff if they want to get vaccinated or not. Unless the governor mandates it, it would not be this spring's way for us to mandate something. We believe in, you know, personal choice. On the flip side of that, we will be doing a PR to recommend and, hey, we have a lot of people who have gotten it, they're fine, you know, and things such as that. So that's where we are with that. Right now, the student immunizations is not a topic of conversation because there is no immunization for students under the age of 16. One of them, I want to say Moderna, was tested 16 and 17-year-olds, but the state is not requiring students to get it, so therefore we would not require students to get it. Just like always, we only require what we're mandated to require as a state entity. But the lawyers did say if there does become a child immunization where they can get inoculated while that rolls out and see if 3 years down the road this does become a mandated vaccine. That's just a little bit there. Now,
Amy, did the, and this is really litigious, and I don't mean to say it this way, but did the lawyer seem to imply that if an unvaccinated child comes to school and infects people, that we would be held liable, or that there would be any liability to our school if that came about? Because I can completely see that. I mean, if we sue over spilling hot coffee on ourselves, we're going to sue because someone gave us COVID.
I'll let Kathleen know.
Well, the problem is they don't even have a vaccine for the kids yet, so the kids are out. So the main thing, though, is if the kid came and brought the virus to the class and the teacher got COVID and she died or somebody in her family died, I could see us getting sued, and then they could say, well, if you had required every employee to be vaccinated, then this wouldn't have happened, you know, which I think is a weird lawsuit when, you know, you were offered the vaccination and you chose not to take it, you're still working in an environment where in close contact with people where you could get it. So, you know, that said, you know, pretty much the research is clear that right now, at this point, the Dr. Fauci and all these other high mucky mucks believe that there is no danger from schools. Schools is not the, you know, the virus, you know, red zone. Right. And so, you know, I mean, ultimately, are you safer at home? Probably, but, like, we can't continue to do that. You know, it's not, we've got 35% of our high school seniors are not on track to graduate right now. It's never been this bad.
And we're not giving it away for free like we did last year. Last year we pretty much said, hey, if you were in the ballpark of graduating when COVID hit, you're graduating, okay? It was like, that's basically what we did. And so our graduation rate shot up last year. Yay, we should pat ourselves on the back. Not really. but now, this year, we're not doing that. We're not just saying, hey, you just show up and we're going to graduate. We have to actually do some work, even though we have reduced the work. We have reduced it.
It's also crazy because we talk about how, Amy just said it's 11 months. If you're opening, March 15th would be 12 months. And that's only 1 year, but it's actually 2 years out of these kids' lives. Like, whether or not we push people through to graduation, the learning was severely inhibited last year.
Oh, 100%.
And this year again. And it's like, if you're 14, that's 2 years. That's a big amount of 14 years.
Right. It's true. And so what our plan is for these seniors is for the ones that are at risk of not graduating, we're going to start bringing them into the centers and saying, like right now, because we can do that if there's a demonstrated need, like the special ed kids who can't really access, their special ed services through the internet, we can bring them in. We don't have to be open for general business. And so we bring them in and we get them to complete their work right there and right there with us breathing on their necks, because that's what they need, And I think that's step one. Because we still have time. If we start bringing them in now, we'll have time to get them through to graduate by the end of May. So.
Kathleen, I was talking to a local superintendent county office, and they were sharing that one-third, and it's interesting that you said that about that, but one-third of their students across all grades are failing or have gotten failing grades. Are you seeing the same across all the grades?
Not nearly as bad. Not nearly as bad in elementary school. Middle school is a little worse. As the grades go up, the success goes down, the percentage, because, of course, the little children are doing what their parents tell them. The older they get, the less likely they are. Let's face it.
And it's much harder content as well.
And the other thing, too.
Adult content is different than 16-year-old.
Yeah.
It's just different not being able to like ask your teacher standing in the room, explain this concept to me. We're gonna try to explain it to you on the Zoom while a million things are going on in that Zoom.
They might also say a lot of older kids watching their younger siblings. So that's truly a situation that's happening out there. I 100% agree with you, especially when it comes to math. Seems to be a part that has been very, very difficult for the high school students. That higher level was needing to be walked through questions, and although our teachers are doing a great job, we can't replicate the classroom, right? And they have all the distractions, if their friends are going off and they're in their house, it's just human nature. So for sure, parents at work, they're watching the little ones, so they're making sure their brother and sister get on, but and they don't do the same. So, and then a lot of talk about social emotional health. We just got off a round table with all the leaders in the school, and we were mentioning, social emotional, and when the kids do get back to school, we need to take a week to just let them move into class again. Literally been away for a year, and then I talked about my daughter in ninth grade. She's never met her classmates because they all filter in from different schools. She knows like five people. So she's a freshman and on Zoom with literal strangers. So even when we go back, it's not just about the academics, but the social emotional is. We're already doing a great team, doing a great job, but when they. It's going to bring different issues and anxiety. you know, let's just be honest.
Are we able to really bring in the kinesthetic component too for those upper grades through the online? I noticed as a tutor that my students that really needed that kinesthetic component who were younger, and I didn't know if it's just a younger thing, it was very difficult for them to access that doing virtual versus being in person, and I'm wondering if that could be a big factor in the effect.
I was being hands-on, like... So I was observing in a small group math lesson, and I was very impressed. I thought that this small group math lesson actually went better than... it went just as well, if not better, than in a regular classroom, because there were just six kids and the teacher, and the engagement was high. I mean, everybody was speaking for each thing. She was good. She was a good teacher. But she also, all the kids had whiteboards and Expo markers at home, and so they were writing on their thing, and they were holding up their answers to the camera, which, you know, is definitely a low-tech solution, and it's also, it meant that the teacher had made sure that all the kids had Expo markers and little whiteboards sent home with their packet, you know. So, what I did think was, in general, they were, I think, less distracted. Like in a classroom, the small group table is over here. Kids are doing, you know, the teacher still has to manage the behavior of all the 25 other kids. In this, the teacher was 100% focused just on these six kids. Now, one of the six kids must have lived with grandma or something, because every time he turned his microphone on, it was so loud, I don't know how the kid could have paid attention to the... I don't know how the kid could have paid attention, because it was like Days of Our Lives on decibel, you know. I mean, it was on 11, as Spinal Tap said. And it's just... So I felt bad, you know. But and this is what the kids are living in, and then they want us to do standardized testing this year from home. I mean, like, I don't get that. I don't get it at all. But anyway, so all in all, I think we've, you know, I think there are tools that we can use that will increase engagement and hands-on, like the ability for every child to do the problem, and the teacher to see every child's work. You know, they put up example problems, and then all the kids do their work individually, and the teacher can see it. Those are technology tools, and we just don't necessarily across the board have those. So some sites have decided to buy them, some programs have bought these tools, but other programs haven't. And we just haven't wanted to add to the burden of professional development for the staff. You know, they already have to learn so many new things. It's not about the money, because it, you know, it's not that much money, but it's just one more thing for people to have to do, even though it would help them increase engagement in their Zoom lessons. So we're definitely doing it for next year, because this isn't over. Even at the end of this year, we're going to still have to have distance learning options, because we have a lot of families that have, you know, fragile health situations, and they're not going to want their kids coming to school. So anyway, craziness. But there's been silver lining, you know. I feel like all of our departments have made really great progress. All of our departments have become more efficient. They figured out how to do things in an alternative way, and in some cases, you know, really streamlined processes, you know, just because you kind of are faced with this situation where everybody's working from home and you have to figure out a way. You know, like, for example, document signing. That's been one area where we've had a variety of things going on. Now we have one document app, whatever it is, DocuSign or whatever, and it tracks the whole thing. So it's not like this round robin of sending something via email. And I mean, yeah, it's like, where did the ball drop? You know, which person has this been left with who hasn't done what they're supposed to do, you know? So anyway, just stuff like that. You know, I think it's been good. Don't you, Amy? Don't you think even, I mean, Amy's department was always efficient, but I think even now is a little more so, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing letters of intent right now, you know, if the kids are going to be returning next year, because we do have to hold a lottery in all six schools this year, which is the first time we've ever had to do a lottery. Because we only have to do a lottery if every program in the school is full. And because we took 800 more students than we got paid for this year, we are holding our breath to say the hold harmless for districts, which was actually a cap for us, has not been said it's going to happen, but it hasn't been said it's not. And last year, this came to us on June 28th, and we had already enrolled almost 1,000 more students than we had the previous year that we ended up not getting paid for. So this year, knowing that this could come again on June 28th, we're holding a lottery, and there's only going to be so many seats available, and I'm literally picking them out of a big rolly thing that Pam got me, because the charter says I have to do it that way. I can't use, like, a number generator or whatever, because we haven't looked at this in the charter because we've never had to do it, right? So now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you've got to buy me rolly things and you have to do index cards because it literally says that. But we'll be doing a live stream lottery poll. And quite literally for all six charters by program, by grade level. So we'll take that.
Very analog of you.
Huh?
I said that's very analog of you.
I know, it's so 80s, but here we are. So next time I rewrite the chart for Tim, I'll be updating that, just tab it out, number generator and things like that. So anyway, long story short, this is, you know, we have a wait list of about 4,000 kids, and we are cleaning that up, meaning we're calling parents and saying now that things have calmed down and your kid's been still in, you know, because they all freaked out at the beginning. Still in your district, and your district probably will reopen in the fall. Are you still interested in coming to us? So we're trying to get that list super cleaned up. We're getting applications in for the lottery deadline. And I say this back on the efficiency piece is the letters of intent this year, because they can't be on paper because we did it on purpose on paper. We've gone completely paperless and online through OASIS. And so it's a lot more efficient. And we had talked about doing that for years. But we tend to get them in a little bit faster, honestly, when we safety pin it to the kid's backpack and send them home with it. You know, mom safety pins it back. And, but we've had a great turnout so far. I mean, almost 2,000 have been returned out of the 10,000 in about 3 days. So anyways, just little things like this that I wanted to...
Were you using DocuSign for that?
We do. It actually, for the letter of intent, we don't even need a signature. It's just OASIS login, and we did move to DocuSign 2 years ago for student agreements. So we're almost completely paperless.
Good for the environment and more efficient.
And more efficient, and they last forever, and they don't get lost. And if there's a fire, I mean, there's all sorts of things to worry about here, right? So, anyway, so I want you guys to know letter of intent. You know, we're hearing from parents right now. Are you planning on coming back? And also, you know, that lottery. That's going to be a lot. You know, I want to get in the lottery. And how do I get my application in to get in the lottery? And there is a deadline this year, and we'll be pulling student ID numbers. Now, I think if we make it to July 1 with no hold harmless, Kathleen and I are going to open the gates as wide as we possibly can. Because I never brag about a wait list. I do not like wait lists. I think schools that brag about wait lists are silly. I want the kids in our school, and I want us serving the kids. I do not want a wait list of 4,000. I want them in, right? So if we make it through the legislative session and make it through June 30th to July 1 with no hold harmless, not that they couldn't do it later, but let's just say, then Kathleen and I will talk about opening the gates further and, you know, we have an empty classroom here that we never filled since a brand new program. Open that classroom, get that teacher. But we're not going to do that and get stuck in the same situation we were this year. Well, we're not getting paid for 800 of our kids because how much did you say it was? About nine million?
9 million. I mean, ultimately it probably would have been, I mean, we get more between all the funding streams, special ed and everything else. We get more than $10,000 a kid in most of our programs. So it's, you know, I think we have about 600 additional students in River and, you know, and then 300 or so in Empire. And And then, you know, just smaller amounts in the other schools, but still all together, I think it was at least 9 million, if not 10 million, even with drops. So
is the lottery going to be, I mean, I assume it's going to be program specific, yes?
Program so, level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to, like, that feels like a ton of work. Like,
it is.
Like, because you have 4,000 on the wait list, but you may only have, like, 4 on the wait list for this specific thing. And I am, like, rolling around 4 people to pull out, like...
Not even that, because if we have 4 drums per grade level, because your foster homeless have to be in drum 1, your siblings have to be in drum 2, your staff member children have to be in drum 3, and then drum 4 is general ed. So if I have 4 kids, I could have 1 card in each drum, which of course we just pull the card. Or, you know, you could have 2 spots open and just foster homeless, there's 8. Those first 2 foster homeless get pulled, and then the difference is as the rest of the foster homeless gets pulled, after the rest of the siblings, after the staff members, and after, we have to pull every card to make the wait list. So parents will know I'm number 7 on the wait list. So for Bear River, there's 400 on wait list. I literally have to pull 400 cards by grade level. So yeah, it's logistical. Logistical.
It's a logistical nightmare for sure.
So then, Amy, do you have to then tell every parent where they are on the wait list, or you can just say you're on the wait list and you want to know, contact me?
So what we're going to do is it's live streamed. And so parents can get on and watch if they want. It's live streamed more for transparency purposes, so there's not like this behind closed door situation, because usually it has to be open to the public. So we'd like open our boardroom and any parents could come in. But obviously with COVID, we're not going to do that. So it will be live streamed so they can watch. Within 24 hours, my intake team is going to text and email, because we always text and email parents if they got a spot, and then they have to do an acceptance form. So then if they don't want the spot, they go, oh, I changed my mind yesterday, or we moved to Texas, which is happening a lot, things like that. We give it to the next kid in line. But yeah, there will be a wait list, so parents can call if they didn't watch the live stream and say, where am I on the wait list for third grade Bear River? And we'll say, you're 13th. And so for the first time in history, we'll tell parents exactly where they are on the wait list, because we don't normally play that game. But now with the lottery, I have every card's going to be pulled, so it's going to be public.
So my next question is going to be perfect after that explanation. How is the morale of staff right now?
Well, I think it's good. I think most staff feel pretty lucky to be able to work from home, still have a full-time job and paycheck. They feel pretty blessed in that way. I want to say it's stressful, just like you guys. You know, they have their own kids at home. They have their own things going on in their house. You know, their own children aren't in school, so they're trying to teach online while their second and fourth grader are doing. So it's stressful, but I'd say overall the morale seems pretty good. Kathleen, would you agree with that?
Hard to know, man. You know, I feel like we are. I mean, we did win. They have more entries into the top workplace than ever before, and we did win fourth place in the large business category. Last year we won second place, but our actual scores went up from last year. So, and of course that survey was done in August, September. So that's hard. You know, it's been a long year. Let's just say that. And I would say that people are doing okay, but I would say that everybody needs support in mental health and social wellness sort of ways, because everybody is feeling a little isolated and alone, and just sort of depressed. Even people who don't normally get depressed, you know, are feeling a little depressed right now. I mean, it's just like a normal reaction. It's like a grief reaction. You know, like I used to have fun. I used to go out for dinner, and I used to not have to cook every freaking night, and you know, I used to whatever, get in my car and listen to music, and now it's just, I don't know. So we are definitely going to be putting a focus on mental wellness for both for kids and staff next year, because when they come back, they're going to need it. I mean, they need it now, I guess.
Do we have any other questions for Kathleen or Amy? Kathleen, did you have anything else you want to share with us?
Trying to think. We got renewed. I don't know if Amy told you, but
I didn't.
We got renewed at Citrus and at Vista. No, Pacific.
So those have been on the superintendent reports. The Orange County one, the Citrus was, you know, last meeting, and then this meeting, Pacific. So they were updated.
So, I mean, that's good news, because right now the renewal criteria is much harder to meet than it used to be. And so this is going to mean that we have to put a greater emphasis on tracking. I mean, we've always put an emphasis on tracking our data, but we're going to even have to be, like, really scientific about it because, you know, and we need multiple measures, and we need multiple measures that the state will accept. So, you know, all of those things are going to be very, very important for our renewals. So
this is because of 1505 and 1507. Luckily, we do iReady, have been doing iReady, and had great comparable data, because as both middle-tier schools, which is what we were rated, you only get high-tier if you're green and blue on the dashboard in every category and every subgroup. So we were up for five-year renewal, and luckily we had a ton of iReady data, because not only did we not have CAST data, but iReady is one of the ones on the state list that is allowed to be verified data. So yay for making good choices on that. So not only, you know, it's a good tool, and we knew it was a good tool, but imagine if the state all of a sudden came up and said, oh, iReady isn't one you can use for renewal. You know, that would have been very difficult, because that's where all of our data lied, and we have to retrain everybody and so on and so forth. So that was lucky. 1505 and 1507 have made it. It is much more difficult, but I also want to say it's a lot more clear now. Because if you guys remember back when we got renewed for River 2 times ago, they started comparing us to every district in the county, including Temecula Valley, and their demographics were totally different. I mean, they could have gone every which way but loose to show how poorly we were doing, and we went the completely opposite direction to show how wonderful we were doing and where does the truth lie. So this does make it a lot more black and white. I mean, I do want to say, like, you have to have comparable data. And the two things you have to prove is that you're at or above state averages and your kids have made a year's growth in a year. And so in that way, it's cleaner. But I do want to say San Diego County Office of Ed had a turnover in one of their very important board seats, because there's only 5 board members. So when Pacific came through, you know, we did well. We ended up getting a unanimous approval in both Citrus for Orange County and Pacific for San Diego. The staff reports were completely clean. We met every category. I mean, that was, like, amazing. Our data was good. Our petition was good. You know, so everybody from the teachers and ACEs on up, everybody did a fantastic job. And the staff reports were good, but San Diego County Office of Ed, like I said, we got through. It all ended up going well. The charter after us didn't vote as well as we did. So, you know, the political climate changed right at the same time we were getting renewed. And so, you know, it was a little bit more dicey than we thought it was going to be. But again, it all came out in the wash, and we got approved unanimously. So we were thrilled. But I want to say that we did... you know, it was a little bit more nerve-wracking not knowing
the new board members like we had known the board members in the past. Because of the November election, the seat's changing. And the other guy didn't retire. He actually lost his seat. So that was a little tricky. But anyway, so all good news for us, but just want to say it is...
I'll tell you, I was not sure what was going to happen with Pacific. And just because, you know, I've been at board meetings where things have gone sideways, and one or two board members can, you know, we all know, one or two board members can take things in a direction, and the next thing you know, you're shoo-in where everything is on your side becomes, you know, you are denied, and that can totally happen. So I just think it's always it's just an object lesson of like how important it is to continue to build those relationships, and when you have new board members, and it just so happens that your renewal is coincide with a brand new board member coming on, that, you know, that's not good.
But we did reach out to him, Natalie and Kathleen, and their team did a great job. We sent emails to his junior college where he's a professor. We introduced ourselves.
Good. We did everything we possibly could, but that was his first meeting. Now, if we had thought about the election cycle in advance, and we had thought, what if somebody was turning over, their first meeting would be in January, so we need to submit a month earlier so that we can get our vote in December. I mean, we could have done that, but we didn't, like, we had a lot of moving pieces, and we were watching all of those, but that was not one of them. The CCSA never warned us that our guy was in peril on the board. So, anyway, whatever. It had happy outcome. So I can't really, you know, but lessons learned for the future. It's like, you know, we really do have to keep an eye on all those moving balls in the air, you know. So
because our big thing was getting voted on in January, because we went backwards from if we had to go all the way to the state, which means we would have to, because the state calendar, you basically apply on appeal to the state 5 months before they vote. Their calendar was so in arrears. And so we were worried about getting in January so we could get to the state by May if we had to. And never did we think once about that seat changing over. And part of it's because nobody was like, hey, knock, 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 San Diego, you have a seat, you need to rally behind this
guy. Like Paulette on that board was also up for re-election, but she ran unopposed, and we would have known that months before, because, you know, we know if somebody's running against your person. So anyway, it's just, you know, these are the things. It's like we live and learn, and it's a good thing it had a happy outcome. But I was a little bit sweating just because it would have been miserable for our program if we had had to close Pacific Springs down with the, because it's a fantastic program, so it would have been a sin.
Kathleen, I don't think this board knows about your CCSA board seat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I got appointed to the CCSA member council as a rep for the non-classroom-based. And so Southern California non-classroom-based rep, so, which is, you know, nice. And that means that I get to go to the monthly meetings that happen at the crack of dawn, so they don't conflict with my normal schedule, so that's nice. That what that means is I get, like, up-to-date information on what advocacy the CCSA is doing for us, what the lay of the land is for the legislators up there, and just kind of like what the concerns are of the charter community in the state. So it's very nice to be asked. I mean, 21 years in this business, and I have not ever been asked to do it. So I have been on the member council for A+, but that's a significantly smaller pond, you know. So anyway, so it's very nice to be on the member council and to hear the, like, really, you know, the up to the minute news, and then also to be able to give feedback, you know, because they're always asking, like, that's what the member council's for. Myrna's always on there, the president, and she's like, you know, what do you think about this? What direction should we go here? And that kind of thing. So it's definitely worth my time. It takes a few hours a month because I have to read the packet. You know about those things, reading the packets and coming prepared and all that stuff.
Come on our board. It's only a couple hours a year.
Exactly.
Beth Bird is racking up because I think she was one of those that Kathleen sold on that plan, and I don't think Tim Pam Ortiza, you were much behind there, but yeah, it's true, and you know, I want to say, you know, if Kathleen wasn't doing it, I'm like, who was? Like, you think a Southern Californian on classroom base Springs is a pretty big player in that game. So I want to make sure you guys knew that.
I have to admit, I was a little annoyed at who they chose to be the Riverside County rep. Is Alex Lucero, who, you know, has just entered the Riverside. I mean, he's the Real Journey CEO, but, or the, you know, executive director. But they just started a charter in Riverside County 2 or 3 years ago. But anyway, whatever. I don't know. You know, it is seat, they are seat-based, so I think that was...
So the big question is, what questions do you guys have? So I know we've talked a lot today, but the agenda is not very full anyway, but a lot has gone on since we last saw you. So I was really excited to update you guys, let you know that the new board members you guys appointed are doing well. During the last meeting, they were pretty quiet. And I'm like, why doesn't one of our new board members do the motions to try to get them in? Jen is super excited to be, of course, on the Harbor Board. So things are going well. The Citrus Board, like all across, I want to tell you guys that it's looking great and going well. So thank you guys for your time of leading through that. We seem to have a really great group.
Amy doesn't know is I got a glowing evaluation from Citrus, which is such a change. Which is such a change in their attitudes, you know. So,
hey, you guys, I took out the pom-pom for trying to get these out of my pachanga box. Just put everyone on the Zoom.
It's just so, it's such a, you just never know what people are going to be upset about or happy about, you know. And so anyway, but no, it was very gratifying, and you know, I mean, they think that we've done great work over this last year, and so.
Thank you. I appreciate the feedback, because sometimes we put the board members on, and we're not really sure until it's time for them to renew, so it's nice to have kind of feedback as we go along, so I appreciate that.
But actually, like, I would say the glowing comments came from a board member that was what I would call a problem board member. I mean, not that we have any problem board members, really, but just sort of a little teeny bit problematic. anyway, so...
Now you're going to say the name.
Well, what I'm saying is that it was a surprise, because I think just the tenor of the board has turned positive, and which is a very nice thing, and that has affected even the more curmudgeon-y, you know, former board members. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's everybody's feeling better about things now. So, that's good. That's what we want.
Big deal. You know, and with the boards, and so it's a great situation, and this you guys have always done a great job. All of our board members are fabulous, but the teams you guys put together on the different boards are really working well. Like, some people you can never picture on another board, but now that they're there, it's like, oh, this is fabulous. And for the ones that already knew Springs, they're on a different board and they applied and moved
over to another board. They brought that knowledge with them. But now they're learning the new chart, you know, the charter they're overseeing. And so that brings some fresh eyes and different questions, which is great, which is great. So, like, well, you know, why does, you know, Citrus or, you know, Empire or whatever do this thing particularly differently? You know, so that's awesome. And yes, diverse in both ways, to be honest with you. Diverse thinkers and diverse ethnicities and all the things we really think that's fabulous. And Kathleen's right. We get asked, Kathleen, I think almost every authorizer meeting, somebody asks something about, tell me about your board. Tell me about who's on, what kind of people are on your board. Orange County Department of Ed, that was one of the only questions they asked her.
All right, unless we have other questions, we'll move on to the next item. Looks like we're going to do a budget update.
Nothing to really update on here. You guys are fine. We're dipping into those reserves as much as possible. I tried to get an update from Tanya, but I missed her on how much we charge the schools so far this year. It is very little, so we're trying to use all your guys' savings, quote-unquote, so that we're charging the schools as little as possible. So you guys are in great shape. We're not doing a full Pechanga next year, a full Ignite. We are crossing our fingers that we're going to be able to be in person. That's what we're going for. And the theme for Pechanga is like a Back to the Future theme, but Kathleen, what's the real words? No, you're muted, Kathleen.
Sorry. I've just got an update from TJ about our candidate. He did a technical interview today, so we're looking good. We've been trying to hire a director of IT, and so we went to the marketplace. We got like 30 applicants, and Phil and I screened about 10 of them on the phone. Then we brought people in for interviews and testing and everything else. And then we got down to two people. One of them was passive aggressive, and basically at the end of the interview when he said, when will I hear something? It was like, let's say it was Monday. And I said, well, probably by the end of the week. And he goes, bureaucracy or something like that. He made some comment like that, and I was like, okay, you're out. I don't need that from my interviewee. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, already he's complaining, you know, and it's
he
like...
He has enough of a problem, Scott. You met me? I mean, she's already got...
I don't need somebody complaining at the interview, okay? Because what's going to happen after that? So, anyway, but,
I sort of
tried to brush it off, and I tried to convince him that we weren't so bureaucratic, and then I got off the phone and I started thinking about it. And first of all, you know, I think the consensus of the group, pretty much the consensus of the group was, well, we're not in love with either candidate, so we decided to go back and see the applicants that came in after we sort of closed our screening process, because we had about 2 weeks while the job was still open. And so anyway, so we when we went through those applications and did phone screenings, we did four phone screenings for the remainder of the applicants, and we found two really good quality people, both who have school experience, which is very helpful. And so I'm excited. So TJ is doing the technical interview, like what process would you use to debug, you know, a database that's denormalized or whatever. I mean, I'm just making that up, but he asked those kinds of questions. So what was the question?
So the question was about Pechanga, but let me say about this. Questions in the interview, because it's me, Kathleen, Vivian, Doug House, TJ, and Damon. That's the interview team. And Natalie. Oh, yeah, Natalie came in on the last one. And So Phil helped us write questions, and then he wrote underneath for me, for us, and I said, tell Phil thank you. He wrote hint, this answer, because four of us were like, who do you use to do normalization? We're like, I mean, they could have said anything. We were like, that's Phil wrote on the bottom, literally, on the interview thing for us. This is the right, this is the answer you're looking for. And of course, I just was like, oh, tell Phil, or Kathleen, tell Phil thank you, because they could have, you know, obviously that's what I have TJ Ding on the interview committee, I said, but they could have said anything that would have sounded fabulous to me. I mean, what do I know about denormalizing a Uzi Wetcher? Nothing. So Kathleen, the question was about Pechanga. I keep forgetting the acronym.
So anyway, so originally we were thinking Back to the Future, Back to the Future Vegetation or something like that, and we were going to sort of do a time travel sort of thing, like, you know, like what are we going to learn from all the different ages about how to teach children, and what are we going to take from the 20s, the 30s, the 50s, the 70s, whatever. Okay. But that got a little complicated. And then one of the ads for one of the Back to the Future movies said, the ad was, getting back was only the beginning. So then we thought, that would be a great theme motto. Getting back is only the beginning, because we're getting back to school, back to normal, back to the real world. So then I started thinking about back as being the main idea. It's like, how do we get back better, getting back to school better? How do we, and feedback is such an important, how do we give immediate feedback to students? How do we give authentic feedback to students? There are many different ways, and I feel like a lot of teachers are very concerned about their direct instruction and how they're going to make, you know, do good quality direct instruction, which is important, but then they grade the papers and they give them back a week or two later. And meanwhile, that is a learning moment that has been lost when that happens. So we've got to come up with structures and strategies where the teacher can get that immediate feedback into the hands of the kids quicker. And the teacher doesn't have to do all the grading themselves. They can, you know, anyway. So I just think there's a lot of back. A lot of, you know, like we can say, we got your back. We, you know, we can talk about supporting each other or whatever. We can talk about, you know, having your own back, like healthy self-talk. There's a big bestseller right now, like how to reframe your self conversations that you have with yourself all day long. That somebody said that the little voice in your head is a friend you would never be friends with. You would never invite them anywhere because they're always complaining or criticizing. You know, and it's like, you know, they're not saying, yay, go you just, you know, finished your walk, good for you. And the voice is saying, yeah, you should have walked double that. That was only a half an hour walk. Why did, you know. So anyway, so any ideas in that area, if you guys have a brainstorm at some point, please email me with ideas. I appreciate it.
So that's funny you said that, because the feedback, what you just said about that instantaneous feedback. So one of the things I've noticed, so my daughter is a junior in high school, and when...
A junior!
I know. When I was a junior in high school, you had no idea what your grade was in class until the teacher came to you at midterm and said, I'm sending a progress report home, or something along those lines. Like, we get, like we know, like, up to date what's going on in her classes just by, like, logging into an app. It's like, this is going to sound really progressive.
Yeah,
those are going to be not super progressive. But, looking back, like, there's just not a lot to learn. I mean, it might be fertile and throw up, like, a lot, but it feels like a lot of what we did in the past is just archaic and old. Like, because they do need I told the group this last time, my daughter struggled with AP Calculus, which is a really difficult class to take on Zoom.
I didn't even try it. That's how hard it is.
So, but yeah, she struggled with it a little bit. And the, what she struggled with is that if she didn't get a concept, she didn't get feedback on it for 2 weeks, and she's already 2 more weeks into more content, and it was like, it just took burying, and it becomes overwhelming and really hard to dig your way out of.
It's hard, especially because it just requires so much. I mean, those AP classes, in order to pass them at a high level, you have to have a teacher who knows exactly what is going to be on that test. And, you know, that we know for sure. Yeah, I think you're right, Tim. I think that we're better now than we ever were in the past in terms of feedback, but still, one of the problems we have is that the kids, you know, your daughter is going to read all the feedback she gets for her assignments. She's going to read every, you know, she's going to look at that A minus and get annoyed and like, what did I do wrong? And I'm going to read every note to find out what the heck is in there. Whereas we know children that are B and C and D students, they don't read the feedback at all. So the teacher, especially if it was turned back 2 weeks after it was, you know, the essay was turned in, they're not going to read the feedback. So there are strategies. Like, one simple strategy is you just give the feedback and you put the score in, but you don't give it to the kid. The kid has to come to you and tell, and, you know, so you have a little appointment with the kid and you say, what did you learn from your feedback? And what are you going to try to improve? And blah, blah, blah. Then they tell them the score they got. So, you know, because if you give them the score, that's all they'll look at. Oh, I got a 75. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the prep, though, in all seriousness. How is Tim's daughter and my son both juniors in high school, and I have not aged one day.
It's true. How did that happen? It's like my recollection of Tim's daughter was the dinner we had together at Pechanga, and she was probably 7 or 8 years old. I don't remember.
So when I started, when I got on the board, she was 2 years before she started in spring.
Okay.
She wasn't even five. She was like three.
She wasn't even five. Yeah. So she was just a baby.
Yeah. She's almost a full grown adult now. It's crazy. I don't know how we're talking about that during the financial update.
Well. So we got a little off track. Well, it was true though, just to be clear. Asked about Pechanga, and then Kathleen start talking about the theme, because a lot of you is Pechanga. So again, I do want to say you're going to see that all go back up again next year, assuming that we're going to be doing, and you know, the in-person Pechanga situation, and be doing all of that. But it did turn out, and because of the COVID and the hold harmless and all that this was a great year to do it virtual, because you guys could help the schools by saving the money. So,
sure.
You know, imperfect storm or whatever, however you want to look at it. So, you guys are fine financially.
I don't know, Kathleen, if you were a part of the meeting or if but I went to the Pechanga event, and I'm going to say this in a weird way, but usually, like, Zoom meetings are dreadful and terrible and awful. And I was imagining this being very hokey, and I thought you guys did a phenomenal job. I was very impressed with how it went off. I don't know if my expectation was low just because of, like, Zoom environment, and I hate it, and then it just wildly exceeded it, or if it was just phenomenal. Either way, I thought it was...
Of course it was phenomenal. Of course it was. We brought our A game. Yeah, no, but you're right. You're 100% right. It's hard. It's hard to figure out how to do it in a way that's engaging on Zoom. It really is. But and we did have some hiccups. We couldn't use all the little bells and whistles we wanted to use on Zoom, but whatever. Listen, I've got to go to another meeting because I've got an ACE to intern meeting right now, because we have ACEs that are in a credential program. And so we have 17 of them, and it's very exciting. So anyway, but I will leave you with Amy and Natalie.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. All right. I think that what we have next is a discussion of filling the vacancy on Springs, which is the fifth person.
Right, so on your board here. And just as a reminder, we talked about it a little bit last meeting, and you had wanted to table it. I don't know if you're ready to talk about it yet or not, or think it through, but I'm just bringing it back because we've tabled it. So,
just calendar-wise, next meeting is in June.
Correct.
And my assumption is that that would be a board seat-filling meeting. Yes.
Yes, so we don't have a particular calendar for that, but yes, for sure, it's one that you could consider doing at that time frame, because in theory, that would get you fully seated, if you want to say that five is
your full number. I'm talking about we would be seating other boards.
Oh, yes. Well...
Right. If we have vacancies.
Yes and no. So, yes, the June would be when anybody who is terming out, would attend their June meeting, and then they would be done. Typically, what we've been doing is doing the application and interview process over the summer. Keep in mind, you know, last year with COVID, it was a little bit different.
Yep.
But typically, we would do those interviews and stuff over the summer so that, the newly appointed people could come to Pechanga, which is in August. So
okay.
We don't really appoint at the June meeting, per se, but before the August meeting. Amy has something to say.
If I can make a suggestion, what would be super cool is if the board members were appointed so that they could attend the June meeting as an audience member, say they're on Citrus. They could see the Citrus board meeting in June and watch the Citrus board work. So when they were actually on the Citrus board in August, their first meeting wouldn't be the first time they've ever even seen one of our board meetings.
So what we would need to do then, we'd have to have additional meetings then, because I would feel far more comfortable if we were fully seated here. Meaning, I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't want to go into another board seating season, if you will, and not have a full board. Like I value another person's, for us,
right.
I would be like, I would want that other person's feedback and their perspective and, I mean, just off that.
Tim,
so my thought process.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you also looking at who might be terming out of the other boards that may be a candidate?
Who is terming out?
You know, I should have pulled, I have that written down in a file, but I had to switch rooms because my internet was down and I didn't bring my folder with me. So real quick, I'll look on the website because I think we also posted there, but my book where I keep track of it, I don't have in front of me, so I'm sorry. I think off of the top of my head, for River, which again, you guys don't appoint, but for River, I think we are going to be losing two people. So that would be, do you want me to just say names?
I don't know if that's a problem. It shouldn't be a problem, right?
Okay.
I mean, if the terms are
private.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's public.
Okay.
Yeah, it's public.
So yeah. In River, I'm looking at our website now. In River, we would have two people terming out this June. It would be Carl Burke and Chuck Vila. Chuck would not be a candidate while Tracy is seated as she is on Empire. So let me get you some other boards and tell you that.
Mike is turning out, right?
Sorry?
Mike Solomon on Citrus.
I just opened up Empire, so bear with me right now.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No. My only person who's terming out on Empire is Craig Schneider. He is the one who's appointed by Hellendale, and as you guys know, we've talked about seeing how willing he is to just continue because he's a great appointee for them.
He's fantastic.
Yes. Okay, moving on to Harbor. I'm just going in the order that they're on the website. Sorry, Tim.
No worries.
Okay. I don't have any, because you guys just filled Harbor. Thank you. So we don't have anybody who's terming out this time.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about needing to potentially offset so we don't have 35 vacancies on.
Exactly. And if you remember, our legal counsel said that that's up to...
That doesn't sound fun, Jesus. That sounds...
Okay,
well,
and
it sounds
then
terrible for you and Kathleen with having brand new board members having to get seated on boards. Like, that's where the pain feels like it comes.
And then on Citrus, our only... terming vacancy for this June is Sarah Slatter, and Michael is not terming out because he was one of the founding members, and so he was extended. He has one more year after that.
Mm.
So, okay. Hope that makes sense. Okay. So really, in terms of currently seated board members who would be terming out, who would be candidates, I personally think that you're only looking at maybe a Carl Burke situation, because the other boards are either filled or, like I said, in the case of Chuck, his wife being on one of our boards, that kind of thing.
Well, we only have one seat anyway, so...
True, but I'm saying, you know, only one person that I can think of that would be a presently seated board member. I think Kathleen had mentioned a previous staff member to you.
Chuck can be on a different board.
He can't be on this board
because Tracy's on Empire.
Oh, I'm not this board, sorry. But Chuck or Carl could apply for Sarah's seat along with anyone else. I was thinking of Sarah's seat. But for this board, yes, Chuck couldn't be on this board. Carl could.
Yeah.
Correct.
I wish we'd have thought about this earlier, because I thought we were going to ask Kathleen if she had anyone that she had, like, recommendations for this board.
So
I'm sure she does.
She does have one. Kathy Hansen. Kathy Hansen.
Yes.
Previous employee.
Kathy Hansen.
Mm-hmm. No, we haven't talked to Kathy, obviously, because we wanted to talk to you all first. But in terms of Kathleen's suggestion, that was one that she had hoped would be of consideration.
I'm not going to speak out of line here and say that she would be a consideration, but she would be a consideration. I think that we consider anyone, but Kathy Hansen's an awesome human being. So.
And knows the school, knows the ed side of the house, reasonable, you know, but we do have, you guys have a couple of great choices, it sounds like.
Well, I'm excited because I was worried. I mean, obviously, if we fill 10 seats, you know, in 1 year, that we don't have 10 seats to fill next year. So only one seat makes me far less worried. But obviously, if we get 5 seats, I really want more input. And not that I don't think that Pam and Beth and Tisa offer great input. I'm just saying that I think that we all would prefer to have the full set of 5 minds, whomever that 5th person is.
Plus, for Natalie, too, if 2 you go on vacation... And we're trying to do a summer thing because, you know, we hopefully we'll start going on vacation again at some point in our lives. Will you go right now? We could hold meetings because you have to have a hurry. So it also, that kind of backs up the logistics piece.
And I actually will be, at least right now, Lord willing, I am scheduled to be in Hawaii in June only because my October got canceled. So we'll see. But also, am I correct in, I perceive that Kathy Hansen also has a great eye for just seeing people's gifts and talents.
Yes.
And people's abilities very often, and able to kind of encourage them in that way. That's something she just naturally has a strong gift in. Am I correct in that?
Yes, I would say so. She retired, if you all remember, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, just, you know, it's just a discussion point at this point. If you want me to reach out to anybody, Kathy or otherwise, I can. If you want them to interview with you, or if you all know a person that you want to just straight up appoint, you guys just direct me.
So we can just appoint
you are a self-seating board. Yeah.
At this point.
You are a self-seating board, so as long as it's done by vote, yes, you can.
So, I mean, I would say let's reach out to Kathy and see what her thought process is and see if she's willing to have a 30-minute conversation with us.
Okay.
I think that's...
Would you like her to come to your June meeting, or would you like me to call a special called meeting if she says yes to that?
So my thought process on that is if we're going to try to do what Amy wants us to do, which would be to see people in June, I would want it to happen before June.
Okay.
I'm always cognizant of money. That's just how my brain works. Like, I'm like, if I call another meeting, that's another $3,000 or whatever. And so I'm like, do I need another meeting for this? But if that's the route we want to go, I would want it to happen before that meeting.
It's only a suggestion. You only have one seat open, and the chances of other board members who are just switching charters applying are pretty high. So that wouldn't be as much. I'm just saying, not even for this time. I mean, total,
up to you guys. I'm just my two cents that I see these new board members come to a meeting and we're expecting them to do things, and it's like this isn't really. Now, if they were applying to the board, you'd think they'd come to a board meeting, you know, a little bit earlier, but that's probably setting my expectations a little bit too high.
I think the way, the way we've done it before is we've had them come to Pechanga so they're able to go to that meeting where they have the Robert's Rules, and you know what I mean? So they get a better understanding. Just coming to a board meeting as a person, a lot of it's over your head anyway.
Oh, that's totally true, Tisa, because, yeah, you're right, because we didn't have the Pechanga this year. That's why it felt weird.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, our newbies are doing very well, but, you know, the poor things. They haven't met other board members. They haven't experienced Pechanga or any other kind of thing. They're doing their first meetings by Zoom, and they're, like, they're lost. But they are all doing great, so no complaints.
But she says, right, in a normal non-COVID year, August being their first meeting does make sense. So I take that back. I was just thinking of the feelings the last meeting when we had the new board members, a little beer in the headlights, I just kind of felt bad. Like, kind of thrown them in the deep end. They're fine. They're totally fantastic. But I know I would be uncomfortable. But Tisa's exactly right. Normally, they'd have August with the big group.
Right.
So then what I would recommend is reaching out to Kathy and seeing if she's come to our June meeting and
have
that as part of our agenda in June. And then we can make a decision on that. And if we need a special meeting, you know, for example, she says no or whatever.
Sure.
We can. That gives us some time to figure out if we want to invite other people to that meeting.
That sounds good. I will reach out to her and find out.
Perfect. I don't have anything else to say on filling the vacancies. Do anyone else? Then I'm going to move us to number 8, which is the information board comments. Any board comments? I'm getting a lot of head shakings of no. I think that everyone wants this meeting to be done. So I will take a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I move that we adjourn the meeting. A second.
Okay. Then I will go ahead and say your names one last time for the day. Bert.
Aye.
Ellard.
Aye.
Phelan.
Aye.
Trainer.
Aye.
Thank you. You guys are adjourned at 4:16.
You guys are awesome.